Welcome to the 9th episode of the First Hour Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Eastwood, and joining me today is Michael Thornton.
Hey-o!
So, Mike, what you been playing lately?
I got a bunch of good stuff, but it's, been 1 month since StarCraft II has been out. And it came out last month on the 27th, and I've still been playing it pretty hard. It's taken up most of my time. And it's given me some side effects because I've tried to go back to World of Warcraft. I've tried to sit down with Dragon Quest, which I need to beat that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost made me like ADD. Like in StarCraft, you know, right when you boot up, it's action from basically after 1 minute.
Right.
It's a nonstop action, click, 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 in the multiplayer. And to go back to something like WoW or, you know, anything that has a story or cutscenes or anything like that is driving me nuts. So I'm feeling the repercussions of StarCraft 2.
Didn't know it was so dangerous.
I mean, WoW's the big thing. You got to do a lot of grinding in WoW, and right now they don't have a lot of content, and I've tried to get on there with some friends, and I'm just, I got to be clicking, I got to do something, tap, tap, tap.
Yeah. You think Blizzard realizes that their latest game is actually taking people away from their biggest seller?
I think they're just, it's something to do between expansions.
Yeah, I mean, once Cataclysm comes out, I'm sure you'll be back in there. And
yeah, I think so. And they're supposed to do a lot of revamping and not make it so humdrum, boring.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just StarCraft. You know, I've beaten the campaign, and now I'm in the multiplayer section. So I'm playing 2v2s and 1v1s, and 1v1s make me pretty nervous. But
yeah. So what
2v2s,
tier?
I mean,
what tier are you in?
Actually, in 1v1, I'm gold.
Nice.
But in 2v2, I'm bronze. It's rough because you'll get paired with somebody who doesn't really know what they're doing at all, and they don't listen, and they just, you know, it's just kind of based on luck, as I've found for 2v2.
Okay.
And it's really based on rush strategies because I guess, you know, they're not really forming plans or anything, so the other team just build up and send anything at you. And if your other teammate is caught off guard, and you're trying to save him, and it's a lot of randomness, it feels, in 2v2. It can be fun. You got another guy on the other end, and you're on the mic with him, and you're formulating strategies and everything like that. It's pretty good, but when you get into that random stuff, and it's up to chance.
Yeah.
You'll get a noob or a good guy.
You're right. So when you, if you're ranked gold, do you ever like log on and find that you've like dropped in your ranking? Because it's all relative, right? It's how good you are relative to the other players who are playing.
Well, it didn't take much for me to get gold. I guess I got lucky. You do 5 placement matches before you get in, and I think I won like 4 out of 5. And
okay.
It's just kind of, you know, your placement matches, you're not ranked at all, so I could be playing pros or I could be playing new people to the genre.
Right.
So I got all new and it put me in gold, but I've done decent in gold. I mean, I usually lose one, win one, lose one, win one. It's always like a 50% ratio, which I think Blizzard, you know, said is, you know, what their aim is. So you won't lose morale if you lose 5 in a row.
Right. Yeah.
But the ranking system's pretty cool because it's kind of like in World of Warcraft, if you don't play a while, you get rested experience.
Okay, yeah.
So when you come back, it's like you have triple experience counter.
Nice.
So, you know, you don't have to play 24/7.
Right, to keep up.
To keep up.
Right.
StarCraft's the same way. If I'm playing 100 games a day, you're not getting as much.
Okay.
As much points toward the ladder.
Okay.
So if I take off a little bit and then come back in,
it's not like you've lost all that time.
Right, yeah, you're not competing daily to see who can play the most games.
That's nice.
It's really smart balancing. I like it a lot. All the games, I mean, especially in 1v1, have been you know, challenging, even people who aren't as good, it's still challenging. It's never like a throwaway.
Okay.
You know?
Oh, that's good.
And it's fast as lightning. I mean, you click it and 2 minutes tops to get in any kind of game.
So you've developed a good strategy. Who do you play as?
I started off as random.
Okay.
And, you know, I've kind of felt that the Terran were my hardest to control. I'm just not good with the tech reactors and the way you build your units and everything. I don't like having to sacrifice, well, I can build two units if I have this.
Right.
Or I can build special units if I have this add-on.
Right.
It's too confusing and it's too complex. And then, you know, the siege tanks, you have to move them and then place them. And
fine, yeah, and then shoot them.
It requires a lot of... My brain can't handle it. I'm a simple man.
So you play as who? Protoss?
Protoss, I was playing as them for about 5 or 6 games, and then I switched over to Zerg.
Really?
Yeah, I like Zerg a lot because they all build in that one building.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, I don't have to hotkey all these different buildings, and, you know, my flyer is built from there, my ground army builds from there.
Yeah.
You know,
I had heard in the last week people were complaining that Zerg were underpowered and they were finding it a lot harder to win as Zerg. Do you find that or? I mean, obviously, if you settled on using them, there must be some strategy that you have that makes them better. But
I always like playing the underdog. But
yeah,
Zerg, you have to be kind of pro with them. You have to know what you're doing. You can't just group your units and just send them out.
Okay.
But as, you know, some of these Terrans, you can, you know, place siege tank. It's just, it's a lot harder to play Zerg. You can win. It could use a little tweaking.
Well, a patch came out today that actually was supposed to balance the Zerg compared to the Protoss and the Terrans. So
I think they announced that they are going to balance it. I don't think the patch.
Okay. They announced. Right. That's right. They announced the patch today. Yeah.
Yeah. They said that they're going to do patch 1.1 and there's some balancing issues and everything. You can win a Zerg. I mean, it's not like this is just impossible. It's really balanced.
Okay.
But you have to be on your toes a little more. You have to be thinking. You have to be pro.
Yeah.
To be Zerg. Where Terran or Protoss, you know, you can get away with massing and sending them out and saying good luck.
Right.
So, not as bad. I mean, people, you should see the WoW forums and the StarCraft forums. I mean, everybody always is screaming about
somebody being unbalanced, yeah.
If they lose 3 games in a row with Zerg, I mean, they say the game's broken. And
right.
You're going to lose a lot in StarCraft.
Yeah.
I've been really surprised at the competitiveness out there. And, I mean, just how good players are. I mean, I thought since I'd be in the beta that I would have an edge on them and really know the game a lot better.
Right.
Most of them playing, and it's not the case. When I started up, I was losing like crazy.
Huh.
Especially 2v2s. I just couldn't figure out. I was like, what happened here? I mean...
Yeah.
I'm supposed to have so much more practice, and it's just not going my way. So, I've been impressed with the challenge. I mean, it's fun to get better at it, and you know, you really feel like you're getting better, and you know, it's not cheesing or anything like that. You know, you can hold your ground.
Yeah.
You
know. That's cool.
But like I said, I mean, it's made me a ADD about these other games, and I tried last night. I booted up Dragon Quest IX, and the night before I booted up, and I had no idea where I was going.
Mm-hmm.
I turn off a RPG like that, and you don't know what the next step is. Luckily, they have that story summary option there, so it kind of gave me a hint, but it didn't tell me what town I needed to go to next.
Right.
So I had talked to you the other day on the internet, and you pointed me where I need to go. I did that last night, and I got back into Dragon Quest IX.
Okay.
I stayed up about an hour and a half later than I should in the bed playing Dragon Quest IX while my wife was asleep.
Yep.
I thought it wouldn't reel me in that, you know, StarCraft had made me too ADHD and just too clicky-clicky, tappy-tap.
Yeah.
I want it now, go, go, go. But as soon as I started leveling up, assigning my classes, you know, just formulating this game plan, I liked it a lot, and I couldn't.
Same thing. That's basically all I've played in the past couple weeks is Dragon Quest IX, and I've played it for, I think, 39, just about 39 hours, which is longer than I have played any game in years. Like Final Fantasy 13, I put it down around just over 30 hours, and I couldn't play it anymore. I'd spent too much time with it. And I really liked Final Fantasy 13, but it just got to the point where it was like, I've played this game a really long time, and I've enjoyed it for a really long time. But Dragon Quest IX, it just keeps, like, it stays interesting, and like you said, like, there may be a time or two where you kind of don't know what to do next, and you lose interest in it. And there was a time when I put it down, I didn't play it for several days. And then I picked it back up, kind of figured out what was going on, and it just hooks you right back in. Like, the leveling, the story, the exploration, everything about it just makes me want to keep playing and playing. And the same thing, like, I'm finding myself playing at times when I shouldn't really be playing, you know, like. And it's like, you just can't resist it. And I haven't had a game like that for me in ages, since I was probably in high school, that I just sunk so many hours into just leveling, not even progressing the story. Like, earlier tonight, we were watching the Saints game, but I had Dragon Quest IX, and all I was doing was leveling. I did a couple of quests, but I wasn't progressing the story at all. I kind of switched some classes around, leveled up, got some skill points, and it just makes you feel, like you've done something when you get that next skill, or you get that next level, or the new piece of equipment, or I don't know. There's something about it that just makes it.
I mean, there's a lot of carrots on the stick that just keep coming back. I mean, every piece of armor you get, you can see it on your characters.
Exactly.
You're like, wow, that looks cool. That's new. Or, you know, you get a new ability, and you're like, oh, I want to go with. Oh, I can make him have swords when he's a mage if I just got up to 100 skill points. And
well,
you know, you just have all these ideas in your head.
Today, my kind of big thing was I had an ability with the sword that let me attack twice in one turn. And then I found a Falcon Slash, and I found a sword, the Falcon Sword, that lets you attack twice in one turn without having to use the ability. So then I'm using that. It's really handy. Now, the sword wasn't quite as powerful as the one I was using, but given the fact that I was attacking twice, it made it more powerful, like a lot more powerful. And so suddenly I thought about it. I was like, what if I use the Falcon Slash ability with the Falcon Sword? So I did. Makes him attack four times in one turn. I mean, that's pretty awesome. And I was like, dude, that's awesome, you know? That's like this big thing I can do now that I couldn't do before, you know? It's like attack four times in one turn. That's a big deal. I don't know. It's just like this sense of fulfillment. It's almost like they took the addictiveness of an MMO RPG, of World of Warcraft, you know, like getting the next piece of loot or getting the next level, and they made like a single player, although, you know, I mean, it has multiplayer, but I haven't played any multiplayer yet. And then they made like a single player Japanese RPG with those addictive elements of, you know, the best MMOs that just keep you coming back.
Right. And the customization is good.
Yeah.
I mean, I went totally non-conventional because I played so many RPGs. I said, okay, well, my main character to have a whip and, you know, I want my mage to have a sword and shield. My priest is going to be a lance wielder, you know. Just completely non-conventional with my party, and I really like it.
I like just knowing with the party that it's like my party is different than anybody else's party out there, you know. They look different, and because you can, you know, you can customize your characters, you can customize their you know, there's what, it's, you start with six classes to choose from. You can unlock six more, I think. Playing besides StarCraft and Dragon Quest?
Like I said, ADD from StarCraft, and yeah. I tried to get in some quick iPad stuff, you know, downloadable games.
Yeah.
Quick, easy to boot up. I picked the wrong one. I tried, you know, there's all this Civilization 5 hype because apparently it's getting good previews and it's going to be top notch. They're saying it's, you know, 4 was good, 5 is monumental.
Right.
So I was gonna see what the hype was, and I downloaded Civ Revolutions for the iPad.
Right.
Quest of a friend who said it's great. Maybe I just had those ADD moments and I just couldn't handle it, but it was just too slow to me. Too much statistics. Too much numbers. Too much peacefulness. I wanted to build some units and go conquer something, and it was, you know, diplomacy and learning about the alphabet and then building a library, and I don't know, I just was too ADD to. So I played about 5 minutes on the iPad, and I turned it in for the night. It did not hold attention like Dragon Quest IX did.
Yeah, that's funny.
I'll have to give it another shot, because, I mean, I've heard good things.
Yeah.
Have you played any of the Civilizations?
I have not played any since Call to Power 2, which is a spinoff of Civilization 2. It was a weird thing where, like, the company that owned the name Civilization stopped, like, and the company that actually developed the game kind of split up or something, and so they had to give it a different name. Cause it's like,
kind of like that Advance Wars, Battalion Wars.
Well, they just changed that name because it went onto the console. It wasn't by the same developer, though, you're right. It was like Civilization, and then Civilization 2 was called Civilization 2 Call to Power. But the studio that made Call to Power for Civilization 3, the publisher got somebody else to develop it, and so the developer who had done Civilization 2 made a sequel to that game, but they couldn't call it Civilization because they didn't have the rights to that name, so they just called it Call to Power 2. So it was like Civilization 2, Call to Power, and then there was Call to Power 2. Anyway, so I played that, and that's the latest one I've played. So I don't really have
What made you go with the off-brand instead of... What made you go with Great Value over...
Call to Power 2 is considered to be better than Civilization 2 because it was like an improvement on that formula. But I don't know. I just saw the box. I mean, this is like... probably 10 years ago or so.
You
just
owned it, or you just watched somebody play?
No, I owned it. I played a bunch of it. And I think I just saw it in the store or something. Saw the box, looked cool. Read the back of the box back before, well, we had the internet, but, you know, back before we used the internet the way that we do now.
Yeah.
And just picked it up, and, I mean, it was really fun. Me and my brother played it a ton, and actually my younger brother still plays it some, or he was recently.
So. Yeah. I'm sure it's a good game. It's got a huge following. You know, they had the, I think it was Civ 4 song at Video Games Live that we heard.
Yep, that's true.
That got me interested in it. I was like, man, that's pretty cool music. I might want to check it out.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think... The music kind of has nothing to do with the actual gameplay. Just like a song they have on there.
On the opening, I guess?
Yeah, it's like in the opening cutscene or something.
Yeah. It was cool, but, I mean, going from StarCraft and then going to that, it's like day and night.
Yeah, I bet.
as the Civ Revolutions on the iPad was. I don't know what Civ 5 is going to be like, but I've heard they kind of streamlined it.
Yeah, but Civ Rev is streamlined also. So compared to Civ 4, it's like Civ Rev was the console. It was like on the consoles, and so they streamlined it to be used with the gamepad and to be geared toward console gamers who usually don't have as much patience as PC gamers in general, or that's the stereotype. And so Civ 5 is supposed to be like all the best stuff of Civ 4, but with a more streamlined approach, like Civ Rev kind of took it. Like, basically, they learned a lot from doing Civ Rev, and they realized that Civilization can be more streamlined than it is.
Yeah.
And so they, Civ 5 is supposedly incorporating that. Now, I don't know about the iPad version, you know, how that is, but...
You know what also might be the problem? The art in that game is nasty.
Really?
The publisher is 2K China.
Oh, wow.
It looks like they went on Google, typed in clip art,
right,
and that's what they're using for their models.
Okay.
In the beginning, you can select your commander, and they're all famous people in history, like Abraham Lincoln, Gandhi,
right,
Tokugawa, you know, all the nation's great leaders.
Right.
And their clip art looks nasty.
Huh.
I feel like I'm like a PBS special for kids.
Cause, wow.
I mean, it's some nasty stuff.
Huh.
And I'm a big art man. I mean, games can have flaws, but if they have, like, an art direction,
yeah,
I'll stick around.
Huh.
I mean, Master of the Demon Blade, it had some flaws in his gameplay.
Right.
It's just so cool looking, and, you know, the scenario was awesome, and I stuck around for the whole game, so.
The interesting thing between, like, StarCraft 2 and, like, Civ 5 coming out, it's, like, almost like a rebirth of the PC as a console, you know? Because,
yeah.
You know, they're always saying PC is dead, PC gaming is dead. But, I mean, first of all, StarCraft 2 pretty much proved that. It sold more than any other game last month, which a PC game has not done in a really long time. Sold more than console games and everything, not just PC games. And then with Civ 5 coming out, I mean, I'm sure that's going to sell really well, too. And there's a lot of fans of StarCraft, a lot of fans of Civilization who are going to be appeased by these two new games coming out, you know? They're going to be really happy. So.
And, I mean, you got Diablo 3, you got...
Eventually.
Warcraft, Cataclysm.
Right.
It seems Activision Blizzard, since they did that merger...
Yeah.
They kind of push them to, you know... They still take their sweet time, but...
Not as much sweet time.
I mean, we got Diablo 3, we got two expansion packs for StarCraft 2. I'm sure one of them is going to be coming, you know,
right,
at least next year.
Okay.
So,
hmm.
I think the PC will have a lot of action. I mean, it's the majority of what I've been playing lately is PC, so.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I just like the connectivity. Everybody has one.
Yeah, that's true.
The problem is with the PS3, my friends have grown up, they have kids, they have families, and... They just kind of grew up out of gaming.
Yeah.
But everybody has a PC, they'll throw StarCraft on the computer and, you know, it can be just like the old times.
Yeah, that's true. And that's where World of Warcraft, like, hit it off so well, is that not only does everybody have a PC, but World of Warcraft can run on pretty much any PC.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't need it doesn't even need a graphics card, you know, onboard graphics will handle, WoW at lower levels. And so, yeah, everybody has one. And you can play WoW on a netbook. You know,
yeah.
Or get a netbook for like $250, throw WoW on it, carry it with you wherever you go. And so, you know, that's where Blizzard really cashed in. And I think they realized the same thing with StarCraft 2. It's not quite as extensive, but you can still play it on considerably older graphics cards. You don't have to have the very latest graphics card to play StarCraft 2. It won't look as good, but, you know.
And I mean, I like when I'm playing StarCraft 2 multiplayer, I turn all the settings down to low.
Right,
low,
to keep the speed up.
I mean, I could handle it on high and ultra.
Right.
But, you know, I want gameplay over shininess.
Yeah.
So.
And it looks good enough. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good, even at the low levels. So it looks, you know, better than the original StarCraft, which people were still playing up until StarCraft 2 came out. So.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you make visuals like Final Fantasy 14, you know, people can't keep up with that, and it's going to be a very niche game for a while because, I mean, you have to have a computer that was bought in the last year.
Yeah.
I don't think my computer, you know, and it's pretty good, could run it, and it's only, you know, 3 years old maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I've even upgraded the RAM, 8 gigabytes, and a new video card, but I still don't think my processor and all that could handle the requirements. I could probably run the game, but it just would be...
sluggish or ugly.
Yeah, it just wouldn't be optimum.
Yep.
So, keep the settings low, people.
Right.
Low. So, last game, like I said, I'm picking up those fast, short games.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's talking about this. Nobody loves it. Ivy the Kiwi.
Uh-huh.
Question mark.
Right.
Picked it up for, what was it, $10.99 on Amazon with a coupon.
Uh-huh.
Said, creator of Sonic. Yep. I'll give it a shot. And it's basic. It's simple. You have the Wii remote, and you basically can draw three lines on the screen, and you're trying to get a bird past spikes, enemies, and whatnot to make it home. It's very Kirby's Canvas Curse.
Okay.
IDF.
Yeah.
They have a lot in common.
Okay.
But it's more arcadey than Kirby's Canvas Curse.
Okay.
So, but it's a lot of fun. I don't regret that purchase. I'm on like World 5, and I think it has like 100 stages.
Wow.
So they're all puzzles. It's simple. No story.
Right.
Get in the action fast. I like it. I think other people should check it out. Most people are focusing on Mafia 2,
right.
Pain and Revenge, all these other stuff, and you know the kid games are on the Wii. But man, those kid games—they're challenging and they're a blast. I love
them. There's something straightforward and just like the kind of. The fun is more, like, pure, like, without all this stuff added on top of it.
No nonsense. Like, there's just, like, this fluid motion, and as we get into talking about Metroid and some of the older Metroids for the upcoming release, these 2D games, they have, like, this fluid motion to them. Like, I don't know if you can visualize this, but when you're playing Super Mario Brothers,
mm-hmm.
the first one, when you're jumping, you're kind of pressing back in the air.
Right.
So you'll time it just right. And there's like a fluid motion to it. And your hands, your mind, everything gets addicted to that.
Yeah.
So when games have that fluid motion, it's just simple, it's fun, and it's addicting.
Yeah.
It's like Mega Man 2, the run, jump, shoot mechanic. I mean, it's just so addicting to maneuver the character and just time the jumps just perfectly. So...
yeah,
that's what I really like about those simple 2D games. And there's a lot coming. Kirby,
Donkey Kong Country. Yeah.
So I'm glad that Nintendo's going back to their roots.
Yeah, I think they're realizing what made them popular and what people like. Who, because you know, for me, it's like I loved Donkey Kong Country when I was a kid. And, I mean, I still do, even going back and playing it, there's something about that game that it's fun, it's just, and so when they make a new one, and I mean, yeah, I'm sure part of it is they're just kind of using that for marketing as Donkey Kong Country Returns, but, you know, from reading about it, they are trying to make it have the essence of what Donkey Kong Country was, whether they succeed or not, I mean, we've yet to see, but it looks like they have, from what people have, like, demoed at E3 or whatever, or seen at E3, so... things like that. It just, and the new Super Mario Brothers, you know, stuff like that, going back and being like, people loved Mario Brothers. People still love Mario Brothers, you know?
It's so simple to navigate in 2D. I mean, you don't get lost. You're not, one of the most complex thing in the world was figuring out that map in Metroid Prime. I mean, that 3D map in the
yeah.
top corner of the screen, it's super small. It's overlapping each other.
Yeah.
I get so lost in that game and lose so much morale. But, you know, there's something about those 2D games.
My wife, she isn't a gamer, but she'll fiddle around with games now and then, usually when I kind of put the controller in her hands. And she doesn't like 3D games because, mainly because of fighting with the camera. in like third person, you know, third person games. But she really likes Super Mario Brothers, and she said one of the reasons, and she also liked Donkey Kong Country, and she said one of the reasons is you just move from left to right, and that's really easy to understand. When you're in a 3D game, how do you know where you're supposed to be going? You've got to have a map. You've got to orient the camera in the right direction. You've got to, you know, use other clues. But in a 2D game, especially the platform action ones, it's just like you're moving from left to right. Now, in a game like, you know, obviously like Super Metroid or something, it's not always left to right. And you are exploring, but it's still a lot more straightforward where, it, you know, there's left and right and there's up and down. So you need to move in one of those ways. It's not like in a 3D game where, well, you can go anywhere. You know, you can point yourself in any direction and head in that direction. Are you going in the right direction? Who knows? And, you know, I mean, 3D games are great. I really enjoy lots of them, but they're not nearly as accessible, not just to a wide variety of people, but even to us. You know, it takes more time to learn, to get into a 3D game. And as a 2D game, like you say, like Ivy the Kiwi, you can just pick it up, draw the few lines on the screen, and and you're playing the game, you know, and you're having fun.
Right. Well, yeah, like you're saying, like the combat seems to suffer too. Like, just thinking of Metroid in particular.
Yeah.
Super Metroid compared to the Prime games. Like, when I'd get into a fight with an enemy or a boss or something, it was challenging in the Prime games.
Right.
But, you know, once you learned how to just strafe, or if the enemy's coming at you real fast, you get in a morph ball and roll around.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the gist of combat. You know, there's no jumping up to a higher ledge and, you know, multi-platforming.
Yeah, that's
stuff.
True.
You know, I know the Super Metroid and some of the other Metroid games, 2D Metroid games, were, you know, combat was pretty simple, but it just felt more clincher and more, I just felt more in control. And, mm-hmm. you know, in Metroid Prime games, I would feel more, you know, circle, strafe, strafe, shoot, shoot, strafe, shoot, shoot, strafe, you know, the typical first-person
yeah.
shooter, you know. I mean, it wasn't quite that simplistic. I mean, it was challenging. Metroid Prime 1, I died a ton of times on the last boss. And, you know, it gave me challenge, but I just never felt quite in control or just, you know, that there was any tactics in combat besides lock on, strafe, strafe, fire, fire, strafe, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there was, I really liked the Prime games. I didn't play Super Metroid till after I had played Metroid Prime, maybe even Metroid Prime 2, I can't remember for sure, but, so that might have something to do with it, but I couldn't really stand Super Metroid. It was too, I don't know. It was like the exploration was too bland, I guess. Like, the stuff I was finding wasn't interesting to me. Like, you'd go into a new area, and on the Prime games, and this is a place where 3D games aren't necessarily, they're not necessarily better at this, but in this case, I think they are. Like, you go into a new area and you just, it's just like impressive to look at, you know, you're in this new room and it looks good. And the Prime games looked really good. Super Metroid, I mean, even for the Super NES, it wasn't as good looking as some of the, I guess it was the later games that looked better, but I don't know, like, that you'd go into an area and it looked pretty much the same as the last one you were in, except the colors were a little bit different and maybe the enemies were different. And so, I mean, the new items were there, but as far as actually exploring, I didn't feel like, I felt like, okay, great, another room full of enemies to shoot up, and, you know, how long till I get the next item? Whereas in Metroid Prime, the areas were interesting in and of themselves, and it's like, how do I get through this area? And then there's things to look at as you go. And like I said, I mean, 2D games can still look amazing. Like you say, like Muramasa the Demon Blade, you know, it's amazing to look at. Just even still images of it, not even playing it. But in the case of Metroid Prime, I think, I don't know. And it might have been, you know, back when Super Metroid first came out, it looked good enough. It looked as good as anything else that was out, and so you didn't have that.
Yeah, I mean, I remember being, just the environments in Super Metroid, being scared to death when you first arrive on Planet ZB's. It's raining. It's quiet. Yeah. You're sneaking down in this musky cavern, and, you pick up the morph ball, and the sensor sees you, and, the world opens up, and it's alive, and, now all the space pirates are attacking. I mean, back in the day, we're children and everything. We're playing these games.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, from the final battle with, Mother Brain, just very... The environment, it's probably much harder for you, coming back on it in college now and, seeing these cutscenes and stuff and be like, But,
because I like what you just described starting off the game, I didn't get any of that. It was just like, okay, here I am now, where do I go? And it wasn't cool or anything. And I didn't even remember that it was raining at the beginning or anything like that.
Oh,
But see, the 3D games, they can do that more easily, I think. They immerse you more easily. It's hard to get immersed in a 2D game. The game has to be good, and you have to want it more, I think, than in a 3D game. It's more natural, I guess, to just become immersed in it than in a 2D game, and I think that's probably part of the case with Prime. It's like...
And it's probably nostalgia, too, because it was actually raining in Metroid Prime 1 when you arrive.
Yeah, it is. I do remember that. I remember being in that area, and it's raining, and it's like, okay, where am I?
Point your helmet straight up, and you can see
it rains.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, it is a lot to do with nostalgia with, 2D versus 3D, but... Yeah, I remember in Prime when you first get in there and you look straight up and the rain's dripping on your helmet. That was really cool.
Yeah, and I have the same kind of feelings about that you described for Super Metroid of being like, I'm on this planet, it's raining, and it's like, where am I? Like, what have I gotten myself into, Here's this unexplored planet. I don't know where to go. I don't know what I'm doing. And I don't know, it worked really well. Now, the follow-up games, Prime 2 and Prime 3, they didn't have quite that... They kind of introduced more characters to it.
Yeah.
Which, in Prime 2, there was, the Marines, which you don't actually ever encounter alive, but you see them. And I thought that was really cool at the time,
It felt Halo-ish to me.
A little bit. But, the cool thing I thought about was... The Marines that you deal with on Prime 2 are actually... They actually look a lot like Master Chief, their helmets and armor and stuff. But there's a part where, near the beginning, where the Marines have been possessed by the Ing, and you actually have to fight them. And so I felt like it was kind of like Retro Studios or Nintendo being like, here's Samus, and she's, killing people who look like Master Chief.
Yeah.
Kind of Poking Metroid owns Halo, And I really felt like that. And actually, the funny thing was, right before, I guess, Metroid Prime 2 and Halo 2 came out, within a fairly narrow time frame. I don't remember how close they were, but it was, within a few months of each other, maybe closer. And so before they came out, there was a bunch of stuff on the internet about, who's cooler, Master Chief or Samus. And I wasn't a big Halo fan. I hated Halo, actually. I hate Halo. And when I actually finally played Metroid Prime 2, and there's that part where Samus is just, shooting these Master Chief lookalikes, that was pretty neat. But anyway, but on that game, you, follow the Marines to the planet to rescue them, and they've been destroyed. And so... You get less of that kind of uncharted planet thing because people have been here before and you're following. Now it still kind of keeps up the mystery because it's they were all destroyed and you don't know why. So it's you're landing on this planet and the last people who were there were all destroyed. So what's going on here? Metroid Prime 3, there's a lot of stuff at the beginning where there's people that you're talking to. You're on a ship that's under attack with all the Marines are on it and stuff like that. And then you go to this planet, and like three other bounty hunters go with you, or two others, and you end up, I don't know. So it kind of, as it went on, it kind of loses its sense of loneliness that I think the original Metroids had, and Metroid Prime had really well.
Yeah, Metroid, I remember Metroid Prime 1's environments a lot more than Metroid Prime 2.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Although they were more stereotypical, like snow, lava.
Yeah, but still, Pandora Drifts or whatever it was called.
Andromeda Drifts, yeah.
You just look around and it has that music. They nailed the music in Metroid Prime.
Yeah, they did.
And I think they nailed the music in Super Metroid as well. I mean, just the ambient music is a staple of the Metroid series. And
exactly.
Kind of dwindled in Prime 2 and Prime 3, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Prime 2 wasn't bad, but it wasn't that great either, you know. It's kind of, it was passable. Yeah. So what about, you know, the next Metroid game is coming out like this week, whatever, August 31st, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Metroid Other M. So you've got that on pre-order, right?
Pre-ordered and ready to go, yep. Nice. I'm excited about it. I mean, it's, the reviews are in. It's supposed to be good stuff. I'm thankful for the 2D segments. I mean, you know, after Prime 3, I was kind of like, all right, I don't know if I can handle another 3D Metroid.
Uh-huh.
So when they announced Other M and they said it would contain, you know, mostly 2D segments and 2D combat, you know,
right,
in a 3D environment, I was all for that. I was, you know, gung-ho, much better than a Prime 4 or something like that. The things that I am worried about and that reviews have kind of been hitting hard is the stuff that they tried to add to the series this time.
Right.
That is cutscenes and story.
Yeah.
So far, the reviews say, you know, the voice acting, you know, it's no Uncharted.
Right.
You know, the characters, all that, after playing Uncharted or even like Final Fantasy 13, which wasn't that spectacular compared to Uncharted, you know, they don't hold a candle to that.
Right.
Samus, is, her voice is annoying, they say, you know.
Yeah.
It's tolerable, but you kind of waste your time. Like, you're kind of like, you know, just, you know, you're not adding anything here. So, you know, they said as soon as, when the story segments come in, you're bored to death, you can't skip them. You know, they're interesting, I guess, but they don't add much. So it seems like that portion of the game they're trying to flow in this time around, it's not working. And the other thing is, the another thing they tacked on was the controls.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can, you know, point the Wiimote at the screen and you go into first-person mode.
Right.
I mean, it's cool, but, you know, you can do that in Mario 64 if you hit up on the D-pad. You know,
right.
You can go to his head and you can look around, and you rarely, you know, it. Mario's a run-jump game, right?
Yeah.
When you press up on the D-pad, it's just to look at the scenery. Like, it completely breaks the pace and flow of
of the game,
which, you know, Metroid Other M's got great reviews. They like it. I mean, it's getting 8.5s, 8s, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of with them on these controls that you should have just gone straight up either 2D or something, because when you run, gun, action, and then you have to point to the screen, do a small transition, which they said
wasn't
that big a deal, but you're locked in place when you're in this first-person mode. And that's never a good thing for a run and gun, action, jump, 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 run, run, tap, tap, shoot, shoot, you know, kind of thing. So
Yeah, I saw a couple of reviews. One was GameSpot. They said, basically, it's a good game. And then the other one was on, it wasn't really so much a review as just like an article about it. I can't remember what site it was on, but it was, they said it's not a good Metroid game. So basically, like, it might be a good game, but this particular one, I wish I could remember what it was on. IGN, maybe? No, it was on Game Informer. It was on Game Informer. They said, basically, it destroys everything that Metroid ever stood for, and makes it a game that, they said to them that ruined the gameplay. They said they add more characters. They said the characters are with you, like, basically the entire time, and that ruins the, like, isolation that Samus has always been in. They said there's, like, Samus, like, narrates as, or she's, like, talking as you're playing of what she's thinking and stuff, and they said that kind of ruins her character. They mentioned some other stuff about, like, complaints about it. They said going into first-person view, the problem with that is you have to go into first-person view in order to fire missiles. And so they said you might be fighting a boss trying to run away from him, and you need to quickly fire some missiles at him, but you have to do that transition to first-person where you can't move anymore, and then fire the missiles off, and you get hit while you're in that because you're not dodging anymore. They had a lot of complaints about it, but like I said, GameSpot, they said it's a good game. Like, I think they gave it an 8 or an 8.5, like you said. So I don't know. I mean, I guess this person was probably just more particular about his Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I kind of get what he's saying, but I also kind of like, do you really want every game in a series to be exactly the same? Like, you know, can't you shake it up a bit and still have a good game and still be part of the series? Or I don't know. Some of his complaints did seem a little more legitimate, and I'm not going to get into all of it because it's his article, but not mine. But anyway, I do think, like you said, the controls do seem contrived. Like, they wanted to stick with just the sideways, you know, Wiimote, like the control pad and two buttons, but that made them be forced into doing weird stuff like the first-person thing. Like, say it was played with also with the nunchuck, and the control stick moved you. Then you could, then even when you went into first person view, you could still move with the control stick while you pointed with the thing, and it wouldn't have this weird contrived. I mean, I don't know how it feels when you play it, but it sounds contrived. Like,
yeah.
Okay, how can we have first person view even though we're only using the you know, the Wiimote on its side? It sounds like that's what it was. So I don't know. I mean, maybe it does play out fine. Maybe they figured some way to do it that works really well and it will astound us all. But if so, I mean, that's great, but I don't know.
Yeah, and it sounds a lot like Fusion, which, you know, it's the same guy who made Metroid Fusion and some of the beginning Metroids.
Yeah,
Fusion
yeah.
was very linear, you know.
Okay. Less exploration.
Yeah, I mean, you always have on the map, it was pointing to where you're supposed okay. to be going, you know.
Yeah.
Went to the hint system in the Prime games. But, you okay. know, in Super Metroid, as you gain these powers and stuff like that, you could find shortcuts and connect to older parts of the world and, you know.
Right. Bypass other places that you had been, or, yeah.
But from what it sounds yeah. like, it's very linear. I mean, they praise the combat, you know, they're not to say that, you know, pointing toward the screen to shoot missiles and whatnot breaks the game. They praise, you know, like
yeah.
sense system that if an enemy is about to attack you, you hit anything on the D-pad and you'll do a quick dodge, which then you can counter. I mean, they said
yeah.
it feels fluid, it feels good, you know. But, you know, I was really looking for one of those games that I could come back to in 2 years, 3 years.
Still enjoy,
like Super Metroid. Or, you know, Mega Man 9.
Yeah.
I know that's a new game. I know it's retro, but I beat it. And then just this past month, I've gone back and beat it again because it's
fun.
I don't
yeah.
have to wait through cutscenes, you know, which you have to do in this. The
right.
action's fluid. It's run, jump, gun, run, jump. There's no, you know, transition into first-person mode to shoot missiles. It totally breaks the flow.
Yeah.
It's just faster pickup, and, you know, Super Metroid, you could put 13 hours in it.
Yeah.
Or one guy beat it under an hour.
What?
Yeah, I mean, there's a speed run on YouTube, and there's so many little glitches. Well, I guess it's not really a glitch if they put it in the game. I mean, nothing glitchy, but he used some of the items in a weird way to get through certain areas. I mean, he didn't even pick up the gravity beam or the grappling beam.
Uh-huh.
He was able to just zip right by it and
wow.
use other items to get through those sections and just totally cut off a chunk of the game. So,
that's funny.
I mean, it's cool. It has that kind of replay value that, you know, Metroid games have always kind of had a timed element to them and see, you know.
Yeah, see how fast you can beat it.
See how fast you can be. See how many revealing yeah. aspects of Samus you can unlock, you know.
Yeah.
So,
can she ever get less clothing on than that?
I just hope that, and man, Super Metroid, once she got her clothes off, she was ugly. I mean, she's nasty looking. I think she had purple hair. I mean, I don't know what it was up. But.
Yeah. Well, after hearing the reviews about Other M, I lost pretty much all excitement for it because it sounds like they took everything that I was interested about in Metroid out of the game
yeah.
and replaced it with stuff that I don't care about. I mean, not that some people who like Metroid aren't going to like it, but the things that I like about Metroid aren't in this game. It sounds like they basically made Ninja Gaiden Metroid.
Yeah.
Like, the combat's good. That's what Ninja Gaiden was all about, was the, you know, the fighting the enemies, the cool dodging, the attacking, the combos, the stuff like that. And you know, they'd have, like, lame stories and cheesy cutscenes or whatever, the newer ones.
Yep.
And that's exactly what they did with Metroid, only the guy, you know, Nintendo, the guy at Nintendo said, well, it has to be able to be played on with just the Wiimote sideways, so it's like an old NES controller. And that just, like, I don't know. It's like those two things together made me just not want to play it, so.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
I had more hype for it in the beginning, but it's after seeing the reviews, I mean, it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a good
yeah.
game. I'm going to enjoy it, but it's not going to be one of those games where I'm like, oh man.
Yeah, it's not going to be. And I mean, it's not going to be what Metroid Prime was when Prime came out. I mean, yeah, Prime was amazing.
I went back and played Metroid Prime 1, I mean, probably about 6 months ago or something, you know, so that's the second time I've played through it. And it yeah. was still a blast. I still, you yeah. know, like the environments and everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Yep. All right.
Look forward to it, but a little worried.
Maybe. Right, yeah. It's bad when a game gets less, when you lose hype for it as time goes on, you know?
Yeah, it's not even out yet.
Right, it's like the more you see about it, the less interested you are in it. That's
yeah.
a problem. So, I don't know, I mean, it seemed really cool, I guess, when they first announced Team Ninja was going to be developing it, but I'm not sure that was the best idea.
I mean, everything they implemented didn't work out. I mean,
it
was okay, but it wasn't, you know, they were really pushing for this, you know. They were pushing for cutscenes, they were pushing for,
yep.
You know, you point the remote at the screen, and there's just those aspects. The only good aspects are it's 2D and it's fun combat, you know.
Right.
That's originally what Metroid was, so.
Right.
But, I mean, at least they tried something new. You know, I can't complain. Like you said,
yeah.
not all games can be the same.
Right. I'm definitely not going to complain that they did something different with Metroid. Because, you know, as soon as you complain that, then you're basically saying you never want any new games. You just want to play the same old games. But, like I said, it's like everything that did interest me about the Metroid games isn't in there, and they added a bunch of stuff that doesn't really interest me, and so I don't think I'm gonna. I mean, like you said, I might like it if I played it, but it's not something I'm gonna. It's not something I'm gonna buy.
Yeah.
So.
Even if you get the Wii.
I doubt it.
Yeah. I feel you. I'd agree. I gotta check it out just because it's Metroid, but.
Yeah. No. I mean, you might still like it. I'm sure I would. Like I said, I'm sure it'd be fun if I played it, you know, but I'm not gonna risk it, I guess.
They sold out. Metroid sold out.
Yeah, kinda.
I think they're just trying to rip off, like, a Halo or something. I don't know what their aim.
I don't know what they were trying to do. And the weird thing was, Metroid was always Nintendo's most, like, Western games. Like, Retro Studios developed the three Prime games. You know, they're in Texas. It's like a studio in Texas made that, which is hard to believe. Whereas, you know, most of their other things are, and it's not just that they're developed in Japan, but they have more of a Japanese flavor to them. You know, Zelda, Mario's kind of weird, but I mean, you don't really think of Mario as being like Japanese because he's like an Italian plumber, but you know, it still has some weird stuff about it. Yeah. But Metroid is like, you know, it's like science fiction. It's like a space person, you know, bounty hunter. That's like a more Western idea, kind of, or more appealing. But then to take and like let Team Ninja develop that and make it all like anime style cutscenes and stuff, it just, I don't know. It seemed like they, like you said, they sold out. You know, they went the wrong way with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope they, I mean, I guess after this release of a 2D Metroid, they probably won't release another one unless it's for maybe a handheld system or something. So I'm kind of sad that this was, you know, the last shot and it was kind of tainted. I mean, there'll be some good 2D action in there, but it's a little, you know, you got to wade through the mess to get to it. So
yeah,
kind of sad that they're in another perfect 2D Metroid. And probably won't be one for a while, so.
Yeah.
But you got the old ones to look forward to replaying, so.
Right. Yep.
That's my spiel on
Metroid Other M.
Which I still don't, I mean, what does that stand for, Other Metroid?
I don't know. Well, it takes place after Super Metroid, in which the last Metroid is killed, right? The baby Metroid.
Right.
The baby Metroid was the last Metroid.
So these are other Metroids?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe.
I mean, it just seems, you know, we say this title all the time. It's like, what does that even mean?
See, I think that's kind of what I was getting at with, like, the Japanese flair of this game is, like, the title, like, Metroid Other M. That's not even English. Other M, you know? That doesn't make sense in English.
I can't imagine the people seeing it on Walmart shelves and be like, Metroid Other M?
I'm buying that one.
What does that mean?
It's funny when I, like, I'm writing stuff, like, on the computer, and, like, Metroid, the spell checker flags that. And I'm like, what? I spelled it right. And then I'm like, oh, right, Metroid's not a real word. It's only the title of a video game.
Yeah.
And I forget that sometimes, you know, that's not like, that things like that, they're not widely known. It's not a real word. It's just the title of a video game.
Right. So not only do you have what's a Metroid, but you have what's an other M.
So yeah, exactly. So now you've got...
Strange. Like,
exactly. Yeah, I don't know.
We'll see.
I guess you can play it if you get it.
Yeah, I'll give you a more in-depth review of what, if it holds up or if it falls below the 8.5, which we've been reading about, so.
Yeah.
Look forward to it.
Thanks for listening to the First Hour Podcast. You can email us podcast@firsthour.net. Subscribe on iTunes or via RSS at firsthour.net.